Travel Highway 101 north out of Arcata, and you pass through Trinidad. Then a state park comes up in a few more miles, jutting out into the Pacific. It's been known as Patrick's Point State Park for decades now. And in recent decades, it has contained Sume Village, reestablishing a Yurok tribal presence in the park. Now, the whole park will be called Sume after the California State Parks Commission voted unanimously to restore the Yurok name. There is a G in the name, you'll notice, but Sume is the pronunciation. Let's learn more about the name change from three guests. Skip Lowry is an indigenous descendant of Yurok, Mountain Maidu, and Pitt River people, and an interpreter at Sume Village. Skip, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
Good to have you. Terry Supahan's with us as well, a descendant of Karuk people and executive director of the True North Organizing Network. Welcome, Terry.
Good morning.
Good morning. We also have with us Bethany Noss Shea, a pastor at the Arcata United Methodist Church and Catalyst Church. Welcome to you, Bethany.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Good to have you all here. Let's get a brief description, each of you, of your involvement in this, starting with you, Skip.
Sure. I'm actually representing myself today just as an indigenous father of two indigenous young boys. I also sit on the True North board, so my capacity in this interview is coming from the community organizer standpoint as just a community member.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks for that. Terry, talk about your work here.
I'm executive director for the True North Organizing Network, a Redwood regional community organizing group focused on multi-faith and multi-race social justice work.
Mm-hmm. And Bethany, how about your involvement in the Sume State Park naming?
Yeah, so I'm a local pastor, and I consider myself a white ally, and I am a part of True North as well. I've been a part of the faith leaders group for quite a number of years, and just wanted to be supportive of this.
All right, good to have you all here again. Skip Lowry, start us off with the details of the story. Give some ancient history of the place. I mean, it sounds like the Yuroks have been using the Sume area for a very long time.
Yes, thank you. So in our cultural worldview and understanding, the Yurok culture and people were created and placed in our Aboriginal territories to create balance and harmony between people and their places and all of the other beings that share our world together, animals, insects, everything has its place and its part. And there is a really specific, sophisticated natural resource relationship that is harbored within our indigenous languages that have been in relationship with their places since, we say, time immemorial, which means beyond memory. You can't even date our history. So from a cultural context, we've always been there, and we've never left. And thankfully, our community, indigenous population, survived the onslaught of colonization and westward expansion of European immigration in the 1800s. So there's a history that is longer and a very, very beautiful, and we're trying to restore that relationship with our place.
And what, Skip, does Sume mean? And the G is completely silent, is that right?
Technically, yes. When you study the language, we have a soft G. It's like you have to stop it kind of before it comes out. There's a lot of nuances in indigenous languages there. So Sume, you kind of have a soft G at the very end, but if you just say Sume, that's just perfectly fine. The story I have been taught, now interpretation is subject to the person telling the story. So this is just my interpretation, and from the leaders that I worked with shared this story with me. The village that's there now is a recreated village in 1990. The original village was closer to the ocean, and there was a rock off of the ocean, a place that was named Sume, and it means habitually above the tide or habitually below the tide. It's habitually there. It shows itself habitually. And so I think the name came from our people have always been here, but there was a tide, a surge of influx of colonizers that came here, and it very much violently oppressed our indigenous perspectives and relationships throughout California. And maybe we went under the surface for a while, but this place is restoring our capacity to engage the world in a healthy way, revitalizing our own culture while sharing our culture with the newcomers to this land.
That's a wonderful analogy. Thanks for that, Skip. But we're talking to Skip Lowry, Terry Supahan, and Bethany Nas Shea about the renaming of a state park to become Sumay State Park along the north coast in Humboldt County. You can join us on the exchange with your questions and comments at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Terry, can we turn to you for the story of who the Patrick was in Patrick's Point?
I wish you could, but I understand that there's quite a bit of difficulty in knowing which Patrick they might have been referring to, the one that has been given, and I believe Skip knows some of that history better than I do, that there was a gentleman of ill repute that is believed, there's a number, actually, that were part of some of those first white settlers that were involved in creating some ugly history on the North Coast and in Southern Oregon. And so I couldn't tell you for sure, and I'm not Skip, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not sure if the state of California knows for sure exactly which Patrick was being referred to in the creation of that name.
Yeah, you know, there was small discrepancies, but there is testimony, and that when we talk about restoring this place name, we all believe in environmental justice and social justice. It starts with testimonial justice. Can't get the other two without testimony. And there are families who know, Yurok indigenous descendants, who know the story of this gentleman who lived there. He displaced people's great-grandmas, and I know their great-grandsons. I personally know their story and history, and the state park did an excellent job researching it. You can listen to the Board of Commissions. They recorded that session, and the history that they have about the Patrick that is most accurately associated with the name was Mr. Began.
Who has a reputation as a murderer, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, so all this was known for like a century by the time the park was officially named in 1963. Was there anything in the record about why it was given that name, despite all that unsavory association?
Well, I've learned that the park inherited the name. So before the park was there, there was Patrick was living there. He had displaced violently the Yurok community members who were living there since time immemorial. And the actual taking of the land was a sheriff's auction that he was in. They were pursuing him for these crimes that he's associated with, and he fled. And so the state park acquired the name with the land during this purchase. And so it's not like the state park chose this name, chose to acknowledge him. They just adopted the name that the entire white non-native community associated with that place where that guy took over. So then there was a lot of need and want and will and desire from the tribal communities the whole time. It takes leadership, people in leadership places that are able to help us overcome extreme obstacles in the healing process. So that's what we're going through right now, is part of a healing process.
We were talking about the renaming of a state park with a white person's name back to the name that the Yurok people had for it, Sumay State Park on the Humboldt Coast, with Skip Lowry, Terry Supahan, and Bethany Nas Shea. You can join the conversation on the exchange with your questions and comments, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Bethany, you mentioned being on the True North Organizing Network board and seeing yourself as a white ally in this situation. Did you really feel driven to try to correct some of the things that had happened in the past at the hands of people like Patrick Began?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, being a pastor means that I have the privilege of representing Christ, Jesus Christ, to people. And Jesus was all about justice and about reconciliation. about repairing relationships that had been broken. And so I'm on the True North Faith Leaders group, and just what I've seen in my own life and what I've noticed within the biblical picture is that names are incredibly important. Names carry deep significance. It shows what we value. And names give a certain level of identity making. So when we say Zume instead of Patrick's Point, what happens is we then put power where it belongs. And in that sense, we then can remove some of that pride, especially as a white person, that pride from our heart. It shows a specific heart posture. You know, at birth, we are named. We are not given a number. So a name is, it shows the significance of our values. And I think that it's so important to recognize the ancestral land and the Yurok name that is meant to be in that space and in that place.
Skip, you mentioned that Sume Village and there's a native plant garden there as well have been in the park since 1990. Talk about how long it took to get that Yurok presence reestablished in the park.
From my understanding, 1924, around there, and maybe even in the late 1800s, there was already talk of the healing that needed to happen from the violent impacts of colonization, unfortunately, on our communities and ways of life and our ties and relationships to our land. And so it took from, I would say, late 1800s all the way until the early 80s for the relationship between administrative people in places in the California government and leaders in the tribal communities throughout Northwest California to come to a place where they trusted one another and worked together to create a place of healing for both the Yurok people and the colonizers, because they need to be healed too. There's a sophisticated way that you are in relationship with land to be sustainable as humanity. And that is within our cultural worldview. That's why we were placed here, to have that responsibility, that inherent right, that inherent divine responsibility to keep a place in balance. So it took, you know, almost 100 years, I would say, for that relationship to be established. And then the money had to be found, and then the workers had to be found, and it was completed in 1990. So a lot of our leaders, the legacy of our grand ones, our elders, that didn't get to see it now, are rejoicing in the work that we are continuing along in their path.
I feel like I've gotten the presentation that you probably make to people who visit the Sume Village at the state park. Is that a lot of what you're telling me here?
A little bit, but I'm a little bit more passionate right now. When I'm at the state, I represent the state. I have to be very careful what the line that I walk. You know, I'm neutral when I'm there and I'm talking about this, but I speak hard truths, which is what interpreters have not been able to talk about, because since 1990, unfortunately, there has never been a Yurok descendant interpreting that village until myself and the two other Yurok descendant interpreters that are there right now, Maya Rayner and Princess Colgrove. So it's a changing point in history, and it's a big step in the right direction towards reconciliation and healing from recent trauma, because history is not that long ago in our life, in my generation. My grandpa went to boarding school and had his was taken away from his family in Northern California, removed to Southern California, forced to speak English. He spoke Mountain Maidu. And unfortunately, I never got to hear him speak one word of Maidu because of the violent impacts of boarding schools and early public education on Indian people, my grandpa.
Wow, that's a sobering reminder of the things that that your ancestors have been through. We are talking with Skip Lowry, who is involved heavily with the changeover of the new name for Sume State Park. in Humboldt County. We also have with us Terry Supahan, who's executive director of the True North Organizing Network, of which Skip is also a member, as is Pastor Bethany Nas Shea, who's also pastor at Arcadia United Methodist Church and Catalyst Church. A few minutes left in the conversation here on The Exchange about changing back to what was in the past. 800-838-3760 if you'd like to join the conversation by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Terry, take us into True North and how it got involved with this process. And it sounds like there are others as well about changing some place names.
Yes, we're hoping that there's momentum that will be created from this tribal and community effort to change this name. We, as Bethany said earlier, names have power, and we recognize that throughout California and Oregon and throughout the West, that there's a lot of place names that are simply wrong or offensive or not reflecting the environmental justice values that so many people hold dear now as we wrestle with climate change and fires and things unabated throughout the West. So we're looking at a number of places and working with tribes and other groups that want to make a difference in this moment. This is a special moment in history, and it's time to reflect and figure out the future we want to have together. And names are part of that. Are having the public discussion, are having when we have these times, these opportunities to look at where we're going and what we want to be. Some of those names from our history need to be examined.
How complicated was the process to begin the idea of changing the name?
Well, I think this process was it was easier than other places are going to be, because in the community and in the tribe and our friend Axel Lindgren and others used the name for a long time. It's been used in common reference for over 10 or 15 years, I guess. And so just throughout the region, throughout the community. And so I think that made it significantly easier than other places. That, I mean, a few years ago, I remember there in Southern Oregon and Ashland, the road that's named Dead Indian Road was a big controversy. Yep. And a lot of discussion. And it kind of came out of tepid Indian. When I walk across the Pacific Crest Trail, across the Indian Memorial Road, I kind of think, really, that's a celebration? It doesn't seem like it to me. I'm thinking that the indigenous people in that area had a different name for those pathways. And what were they? It made me think about what were they? And I think we all should be asking ourselves, what was here before us, and what are we leaving behind us?
I remember that particular discussion, because the argument was about whether to keep the name Dead Indian Road or change it to Indian Memorial Road, and they compromised and called it Dead Indian Memorial Road in the end. So, yes, all kinds of things like that. But, you know, momentum is building, Terry. You have to be, even the ski resort near Tahoe that hosted the Olympics in 1960 is now Palisades Tahoe.
Instead of Squaw Valley.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. So, my mom was upset about that for decades, still is, and any of those offensive names should be changed. We should all rise up and want to know why some of that ugly history isn't addressed.
So is there a ceremony planned of some kind, Skip Lowry? Is there something to mark the change? And are the signs changed yet, or is that still a work in progress? Did we lose Skip? Oh, I don't hear the sound from Skip Lowry's phone anymore. Okay, well,
Skip lives in a remote part of the region, so sometimes the signal is a challenge, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was hearing some noise on the phone when he was there. The fact that I hear no noise indicates that's also why we hear no Skip. So, Terry, what do you know? Is there any sort of ceremony planned?
I believe the Yurok tribe will be working something out with the state park, and we know that these issues aren't always easy, but the there's a lot of personnel within the state park that really want to help make changes and address healing, like Bethany mentioned earlier. And I believe that at some point, if it's not already planned, it will be planned. The Yurok tribe and the state park and the community will be coming together to not only recognize this historic moment, because I don't believe a state park in the country has changed its name to an indigenous place name before. But it is an opportunity for all of us to come together and celebrate that.
Bethany, give us some idea of the general feeling among the folks at True North about being able to mark this accomplishment.
Yeah, I think we are all very, very thrilled to see this happen. True North is part of PICO, or Faith in Action, and it's a very connectional model. It's all about community effort. It's not the way that True North works. It's not just like a quick sort of, here, we're doing this thing, and now you can jump on board, and we're going to feel really good about the thing that we did this one time. It is, we always have like a long game in play. So anytime that there's a win, the wins are usually come with a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. It's not just showing up at a protest and seeing a quick change. It is like seeing actual like systems change instead of just a Band-Aid put on it. So this is one of those things that we are seeing a small amount of systemic change that we can point back towards. And hopefully this can be a catalyst to heal generational pain, because we're not just throwing a Band-Aid on. We're like, we're really wanting to see a clean out happen. Sometimes that's painful. And sometimes it means we have to recognize the wound that has been there for a long time, the pus that has developed. But, you know, doing something like this, it might seem simple to some degree, but it's not. It means so much more. And any time that somebody then shows up at this park, and hopefully this will happen beyond this place, hopefully this will continue forth. You know, as a white person, we don't have the privilege of ignoring it any longer. So right. When we say, Sume, if I'm talking to my children and I say, we're going to go look for agates at Sume Village or Sume State Park, mm-hmm. It means that I no longer have the privilege of ignoring the atrocities that have happened on the land that I am living on, the stolen land, truly.
Bethany, Terry, Skip, thank you all for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.